Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.
22 minute na 7 en luister gou hierson, hè. Ek wil net vir julle. This is it. Ain't gonna get better than this. But I've got a friend that'll do the introduction for us this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, what an absolute pleasure it is to now have Lieutenant Colonel Scott Logie, call sign Prowler in the Hawk 120. He'll be flying straight here towards us. And of course, you'll be able to see one of South Africa's finest commanders, because he is the officer commanding of the Top Gun Flying School. Yes, indeed. And of course, we're going to now take him through the paces. Have a look as he approaches us. He'll go into a nice tight turn, turning the aircraft around so that you can see the underside of this beautiful BAE Hawk 120. Scott Logie, the man of the moment.
Thanks, Brian. One of the legends of broadcasting, eh? Yes.
Man, yes. I can't believe I've got you in studio. You are such an absolute legend for me. Like, you are one of my heroes. And let me tell you, yesterday, I freaked out completely again. I was supposed to study ATG. I never got around to that because the Gripen and the Hawks and everything else, the Falcons, they were flying. And I was like, every single time I just try and sit down and try and study, I hear something approaching and I run out. I was like, is that Lieutenant Colonel Scott Logie flying over us right now?
Well, I get just as excited as well. And I ran outside as well still after all these years. So
really?
Yeah, I do. I'm really passionate about flying still. So, yeah, whenever there's an aircraft, I always look up. And that's probably one of the tests of a fighter pilot. A true fighter pilot is somebody who always looks up at the sky. So, yeah, thanks for those kind words as well to Brian Emanis. So, what a legend of aviation industry.
Let me tell you, I reached out to him first. I was like, listen, because I thought about this when I was at the Swakop Air Show.
Yes.
And you flew there. And then I thought to myself, man, I need to meet you, because I mean, there's very little people that can say they sat down with you, because I know you guys are really busy. I mean, you've got such a lot of things to do and training. And I thought to myself, and I reached out to him, and he's like, man, we're gonna try our best to get this, pull this off. And it wasn't even like 3 days, and he's like, listen, there's the number, get hold of him. We need to get this guy on air, because I mean, just to introduce people to you, it's incredible just to watch you fly. But to have the person in studio with us, it's really an honor. So thank you so much.
Thank you. That's very humbling, and it's great to be here with you guys. Yeah, we're hidden in Northern Limpopo, and most of the time, like you said, we're very busy with training students. And but yeah, fantastic to be here, and always great to be a part of something like Swakop Air Show or the inauguration. You know, just to showcase that we do have a fighter capability, and we do have fighters in our country. Yeah,
people asked us, was it you flying yesterday?
No, it was not. Unfortunately, no. My students are rubbing it in. So my colleagues and students are flying at the moment. I'm here on a ground course at the moment.
Right.
So I'm jealously looking up and running outside whenever they fly over. So, but yeah, I'm really proud of them. And I know that they're going to do an amazing job on Wednesday with the inauguration. So something to look forward to.
I can't wait. Cool. Tell us a little bit about the call sign Prowler. Like, how do you choose a call sign, firstly? Does that get allocated, or you choose a call sign?
So the way how it should actually happen is that you should get it as a you know, as a nickname from one of your course mates. Okay. So my first two choices, which I'm really grateful I never got in the end, were denied. So you give three options through, and my third choice was actually Prowler. So I don't actually have a really good story around it, unfortunately. But generally, it's something that's not actually that positive towards you. So I'm really grateful for Prowler as it is. But that's generally where it comes from. Yeah.
So where did the whole aviation thing bite you? Was it like from child? Did your parents fly, or where did it come from?
So I have a recollection, whether it's true or not, of when I was 4 years old going for a flight, I think with my late grandfather and my father at RAB Airport in Pietermaritzburg, which is where I was born. There was other things that excited me. Even at one stage, I wanted to be the guy that hangs on the back of a rubbish dump truck, because I thought that that would be exciting, you know, to hang on the back of the truck. So anything adventurous really, drew me in. But from about grade 8, that's when I knew I wanted to be a fighter pilot, and it's been that way ever since. From grade 8, even till today. It's something that, it's the thing that excites me, and probably Top Gun has got a part to play in that. So even though it is kind of embarrassing to hear the music and stuff, you know, we actually do like Top Gun, and we as fighter pilots, I think we are we quietly actually thankful that Tom Cruise actually put us on the map, you know, because it is actually probably one of the only movies that actually communicates what our daily job is like. You know, obviously we don't drive Kawasaki Ninjas to work. I've got a family van, and and I do have a set of Ray-Bans, but we don't play volleyball all day with our shirts off. But you know, it's obviously been filmed for Hollywood, but the it's probably the movie that's the closest to what it's like to be a fighter pilot. Yeah.
I was going
to
ask now, how real is that? Like, how close to do they get to the actual reality of the flying those incredible machines that they do?
Yeah, like I said, you know, and I think if you watch the making of as well, there were obviously a lot of consultants on both movies, and they really try to keep it as realistic as possible and try to put the audience into the cockpit, so to speak, you know. And there's some things that for camera you need to, you know, make it Hollywood, you know, spruce it up a little bit just to make it easy to film, you know. But I think the types of missions, even the brevity or the words they're using, they were very deliberate in that. And if you a fighter pilot, you can pick up on that and you appreciate it, you know. So obviously when Tom Cruise was out in the, I don't know if I should be saying this, but when Tom Cruise was out in the country filming the latest Mission Impossible, yes. There is a high possibility that we might have known where he was staying, and and it became a reporting point. Obviously, all legal, above board, above heights, and
of
stuff.
Course,
I guess.
Yeah.
But no, I think the fighter pilots all around the world are appreciative of Tom. Yeah.
And what they do. Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Oh, right. Wow. Okay. So I've got a lot of questions. We was net hierna. Gaan ons verder lekker gesels met Lieutenant Colonel Scott Logie, call sign Prowley hierso van die Suid-Afrikaanse Lugmag. Ach man, 85 Combat Flying School. En ons gaan net hierna gaan ons lekker met hom gesels.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Ek gaan in die vlieg, maar vandag is jy van daai dag.
Maar ek het jou lank laas so opgewonde gesien.
It's just a cool day in studio, man. Just to chat to you, like.
Maar hier is net een ander ding wat hom so opgewonde maak. En nie naaste by.
Nee, wag, kan ek iets sê?
Is die bille? Ja! Nou die blou, man. Ek is ook 'n trotse blou steen. Ja, man.
Ek is wel 'n bigger fan, man.
Nee, jy is al mooi gespeel, hè?
Mooi gespeel.
Regtig. En dit is awesome. Is eintlik, ek weet, hy het nou alles gesê oor die Hanekom wat so goed gespeel, maar is eintlik 'n hele spanpoging wat so goed was, en toe goed nie, when everything wasn't going their way, that they still stood together, and they played as a team, and that was something really impressed me, you know. So that's excellent. Yeah, wow. Really excited about Saturday. Yeah.
Okay, but now with your knowledge that you've got at 85 combat school,
85 combat flying school, not rugby combat flying school.
Yeah, no, but what I want to ask is, do you have the refs? Exact location.
No, I think the Bulls don't need that. They've got it, eh? They got it in there.
They got it.
It's in their hands, yeah. So.
20:08, ons gaan dit hierna voer.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Luister hierso, ek, I don't know where to start and where to leave. I have way too many things to ask.
Maar ek sê jy het nou eie eerso, want ek kyk vir jou en dan kyk ek vir
Lieutenant Colonel Scott Logie, call sign Prowler from 85 Combat Flying School, here with us this morning. The question is, I know you can fly the Gripen and the Hawk, but can you fly a Jabiru?
If you invite me, I'd love to.
Oh, it'd be
great. You know,
would you?
Yeah, no, I would. I'd love it. You know, anything with wings, I'm quite happy to fly. I flew piston aeroplanes. I've flown. Anything with wings.
I'm gonna take you up.
Yes, no, invite me. I'll be there. Fantastic.
Amazing. Rara.
Yeah, I've flown the Piper Arrow as well. So yeah, I haven't actually been in a Jabiru, so it'd be really great. Yeah,
it's a two-seater, not four.
Wow.
It's all about the budget. Tell us about a typical day at 85 yes. Combat Flying School, and what you guys do, a fighter pilot. What's a typical day look like?
Well, my best day is the day where, you know, I could be doing a test flight that day and then jump out of the aircraft into going into air combat sortie, air combat training sortie. and then jumping out into another group of students where we're doing tactical training, where we're doing low-level flying and simulated weapons attacks. So that's my best day. But it's not every day like that. You know, some days it's also management as well and staff meetings and those type of things, budgets as well. So, but yeah, so it varies, you know. But my best day is in the cockpit, as always, you know.
So I think there's a lot of kids listening now saying that, wow, this is my year on radio and I want to be a fighter pilot one day. Like, how does that, what advice do you have? Where do you start to become a fighter pilot?
Well, if you're in school still, best is maths and science is very important.
Yeah.
So maths and science is very important. Mm. And look after yourself, obviously, good eyes, or perfect eyes rather, hearing. But yeah, all the requirements are on the Air Force website. I think the biggest thing is stay motivated, stay focused. If it's your passion, your dream, you go for it, you know. When I did selection, there was between 1,500 and 3,000 applicants. And out of those, 25 of us were selected to do pilot's course. Of those 25 of us, only 8 of us qualified as pilots. And of those 8 of us, only 3 of us were selected to fly fighters. And I'm by no means the cleverest or the fastest or the fittest or anything like that. But I think, you know, if it's something that you're passionate about and you're that person that wants to run outside and look at fighter aircraft and that's what you want to do, then you go for it, you know, through the tough times and the good times as well.
Let's talk about that. Oh, I mean, the training about... Sorry, Sina. Ek val nou hier met die vraag in.
Ja, ek love it. Ek sit verstom. Enigste woord is net amazing. Wow.
So the training, how intense is the training to become a South African Air Force fighter pilot? How intense is that?
No, it is intense and it takes a long time as well. I mean, you have to, that's also one of the things you need to get used to, that you're going to be on course for 12 years. You know, that's
12 years.
That's pretty much, that's what it takes. You know, there are times where you're on consolidation phase, where you're consolidating what you've learned. But to become a pilot takes 3 years. And then from there, you come to 85, where you first learn how to fly the Hawk. And then after that, you need to learn how to fight with the aeroplane to become a wingman, like you know, Top Gun, his wingman. And then after you become a wingman, then you have to learn how to lead another aeroplane. You know, so you're not just looking after your own aeroplane, but you're looking after another aeroplane. And you need to be able to do air combat, air-to-ground, tactical. And we do overload the students. The training is very good. The Air Force theory. Is the theories is also it's, you know, it is intense, you know. And but we've got, I think our Air Force is now 104 years old. We're the second oldest Air Force in the world, and we've got a really good aviation history. All those lessons that have been learned from the Second World War, Korea, Bush War, all those lessons have been plowed into now. And you know, we're also very privileged to have a lot of interaction with outside countries. And we need a benchmark the whole time to stay relevant and stay abreast of the times. And that obviously means the course is going to be challenging, but it's also very exciting, you know. And that's one of the things that really appealed to me about fighter flying, is that you are continually growing.
Yes.
Even now, I'm still learning, you know, and I don't think it's almost like that goal that you can never achieve being perfect in something. You know, you're always striving for excellence every single day. And that's what really appeals to me, you know.
Yeah. Tell me about something like the G training as well, because I mean, obviously you guys flying, I mean, when you pull up and negative G's, positive G's, you pull quite a bit. I mean, especially in the Gripen, I suppose, which could be, I don't know, help me, it could be more than the Hawk, but anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, but the G training, how do you do that? How does that work?
So the Gripen definitely brought a new challenge for our Air Force. The Gripen can go from you know, experiencing 1x gravity, which is what we all experience at the moment, keeps us from floating into space, to experiencing 9x your body weight in 1.5 seconds.
Wow!
And the problem is that the blood drains out of your head, and as soon as the blood drains out of your head, you can go from being fully conscious, no symptoms, to a second and a half later, you're unconscious, and that's not a good thing for flying.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So, the Swedish Air Force has a really good, or Saab rather, has got an excellent anti-G training facility in Sweden, which we attend every 4 years, and we, you know, they're really good instructors and an excellent facility there, and they teach us how to strain our body muscles. It's uncomfortable. There's a reason why we wear masks, so you can't see our faces, because it doesn't look pretty either.
Yeah, I know. I've watched the YouTube videos, hey?
Yes, most of those YouTube videos are actually using the incorrect technique as well. So,
really?
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. But but it's really important training to ensure that you're safe, and you need to be preemptive in terms of your G-straining, you know. So after about 15 seconds, it gets gets easier because your body naturally, the baroreceptors, without getting too technical, the baroreceptors detect the blood pressure drop and your heart starts pumping harder, which helps to push blood back into your head. And then we also, the Gripen's got an excellent anti-G system with a really good G suit and also pressure breathing as well, which helps you to inhale. So yeah, it's an excellent system, brilliant aircraft.
Don't laugh. We went up in RVs, the aerobatic RVs. I think the guy pulled about 3 Gs and I almost passed out. I saw stars coming, but it was crazy, but it was great fun though. I just absolutely loved it. Ek wil nie eens weet hoe dit moet voel om in daai Gripens en Hawks. Let's get to it. The Hawk versus the Gripen. Just give me a rundown. What exactly is the difference between the two and what do you use the two for?
So the whole reason is actually is ultimately for cost in the end. You know, the Hawk is a brilliant training platform. It's used by 11 different countries in the world, which includes, you know, from Australia all the way to the US Navy to Royal Air Force, the multiple countries that use it. And it's a platform that allows you to do fighter training on a cheaper platform, you know. So the electronics or the avionics was designed by a South African company, and it was designed to be Gripenized in a way so that there's some similarities. Yeah. So that we do already a lot of our training compared with other countries on the Hawk, so that when we send that fighter pilot, a flight leader, to the Gripen, they only need a small spin-up time to be competent on the Gripen. So I suppose it'd probably be equivalent to, you know, driving a Golf 5 versus a Bugatti Veyron or something like that, you know. So, yeah.
Crazy. So how many jets have we got flying currently in the South African Air Force?
So I can't tell you numbers specifically, yeah. But I think if you have a look at Waterkloof and what's flying out of Waterkloof, you know, yeah. it's always a good idea. I mean, you can't hide what's in the air at the moment, but I think it's enough, and we are continuously increasing the numbers, which is also positive as well.
Where are you based now?
I'm based at Air Force Base Makado, right. Which is in Limpopo, in near the town of Louis Trichard. So we're in the Platteland, but a beautiful place to be in. We've got a real cheetah on the base. So, you know, if you go for a jog, you need to check
a
your six.
Real cheetah.
Check your six, so to say. Yeah, but he doesn't bother us at all. So, but he's actually, there's a reason for him there. You know, he's there, actually there to keep the guinea fowl off the runway. So, so there's actually a reason for him to be there. So he plays an important role. Sometimes he can become a bit of a nuisance. He has tried to bite the tires of the airplane. But it is quite a unique environment. You know, we in the bushveld with the you know, all the animals there. Yeah, it's really great.
Does he have a call sign?
No. Cheetah. Right,
Spotty.
I want to get round to your preparation for air shows and stuff like that. We're going to get round to that after the news.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.5
met Oppo. Ek wil nie hierdie onderhoud op. Can you please come every month, just once a month, check in with Lieutenant Colonel Scott Logan? That would be so cool to have you over. Somebody asked here on the WhatsApp line, they said we need to ask you at least, and I want to follow up on a question on this, saying how long does it take to fly, for at least, let's say with a Hawk and the Gripen typically, from Makado to Waterkloof?
Makado to Waterkloof in a Gripen, you can go in less than 10 minutes. And then you can double that up in a Hawk. So you can go 20, 22 minutes. I drove 5 hours yesterday.
Oh.
5 hours. That actually drives my it drives my wife crazy. If we go on a long holiday and I'll be like, if I was in a Hawk or a Gripen now, I'd be already there, you know. And she's like, please don't say it again. Especially when you've got a car full of kids, you know, that are getting, you know, alles bietjie moeg en hulle wil eklim en so goed, ja.
Waterkloof, Cape Town?
Waterkloof, Cape Town, we can't go, you know, full up because we ran out of fuel. You know, you need a tanker. Yeah. So it takes about just over an hour and 20 probably. Yeah.
I can't comprehend that.
Yeah. On a long distance, we'll fly up airline type speeds just to save fuel. Obviously, dash, it's much quicker, but then fuel's a problem. Fuel's always an issue in fighter flying. You know, it's a big consideration. It depends where you put the throttle, you know.
Exactly.
So the fuel can be finished quickly.
So let's get to preparing. I mean, we all see you at the air shows.
Yes.
Doing unbelievable stuff with that aircraft. I love the commentator as well, just giving us all the lowdown of exactly what you're doing while you're flying over. So how exactly do you prepare for air shows? What goes into preparation?
You know, the air show preparation probably is a lot less than the daily preparation in terms of the amount of things we need to learn and prepare, you know, for the diverse roles that we're involved in, you know.
Yes.
When you're presenting air to ground and air to air, and it's really dynamic. But in terms of air shows, obviously the preparation, you know, it's dry flying it mentally and preparing for emergencies in any situation, you know, to know what to do. We want to keep the crowd safe at all times. Mm. And we're not there to show off. We're actually there to demonstrate the airplane's capabilities and also to show the professionalism of us as Air Force pilots. So,
What is your favorite part of flying the Hawk and the Gripen typically? What's your favorite part?
So I haven't flown the Gripen for a couple of years now, but the Gripen is by far my favorite airplane to fly. I think the freedom to be able to just go from being on the ground in a Gripen, from being on the ground standing still to less than 2 minutes later above 36,000 foot supersonic, you know.
So unbelievable.
I suppose once probeer om nederig te bly, my vrou help my baie om dit te doen. Dat help as jy by die huis kom en jy het 'n doek om te rel of iets soos dit. Dit bring jy plat op jou aarde onmiddellik. Maar my kinders nou, hulle is almal uit doeke uit. Maar ek kan een keer onthou, ek was hier so vir 'n verbyvlug oor Pretoria en daar was baie weer in die omgewing en almal wil left and right van track om hier weer gaan en ek het op die einde gesê vir die lugruimbeheerders, kan ek 46,000 voet kry asseblief onmiddellik en hit the afterburner and just outclimb the thunderstorm, you know.
Wow.
So, and you just heard a pin drop on the radio, you know. So, the aircraft, that capability to go from
46,000 feet.
Yeah, to go from being, you know, at those heights down to being back on the ground, you know, like back at low level, established in, you know, less than a minute. That ability is unmatched, and you know it's so dynamic. It's really exciting. So
I don't know how much of this you can share. I'm going to ask the question anyway. But in terms of scares that you've had while flying, especially these incredible aircraft, what scares have you had that you had to face and to work around?
So in the air, actually, I'm in the calmest. Once I hit the starts on the airplane, I'm actually the calmest I am in my day, because I'm in ultimate control. So I don't really get scared in the airplane. It's actually because you have ultimate control of every situation, even an emergency. In an emergency situation, you still have decisions that you can make to determine the outcome of it. So, I mean, I've had an engine failure on the PC-7 Mark II. The Pilatus aircraft. Yeah, I had an engine failure. I was flying with a student. It was only his 11th flight. And he'd never landed an airplane before.
Oh, wow.
And, we had an engine. We did a relight overhead to demonstrate the airplane's relightability. And the airplane didn't relight, which was a really very unforeseen. And then I think the training just kicks in, you know, and I suppose it's a reality check when you tell the student to tighten their straps and prepare if we don't make it, we're going to eject. But it's a logical decision, and you know, that guy impressed me actually when I said to him, you know, tighten your straps. He said, at the time I was a major, he's like, yes, major. And, you know, and he just followed instruction and he was an asset. He didn't panic and he did really well, you know. And then I remember it very clearly. It's when I approached the airfield and I saw I was definitely going to make the airfield, you know, then you relax. And then I actually patted him on the landing, what I was doing, so that he'd be ready for his next sortie, you know, how to land the airplane. So I explained what I'm doing with the controls and manipulating them so he can follow me through. So when he flies again, he knows what to do and what to expect on how to land an airplane. So I actually used it to train him. And then afterwards he was so excited. He was high-fiving his buddies and that. And then I had to kind of bring him back down to earth. So I he didn't sign off the airplane, which is their responsibility as students. So I made him run some circuits actually just to get rid of the adrenaline. So I made him run around the flying school at Longyearbyen, and then I called him into my office and I gave him a chocolate afterwards and said, you know, well done, you was an asset. You know, so afterwards, you know, just say, you know, he could have panicked and not been an asset in the aircraft. But yeah, I also had another interesting one in a Hawk where my aerons jammed on a test flight.
Your what? Your aerons jammed?
Yeah, my aerons jammed.
What?
So, and that was at the end of the test flight. So whenever we come back to the airfield, we always tighten fuel and fighter flying, and it's a controlled risk that we manage all the time, and it's quite normal. We come back normally with about a circuit with one circuit of fuel when we come to land. So
and that's where primary and secondary control effects is so crucial, right?
Exactly, and that's exactly how, you know, that's what I did. You know, so the airplane started to roll uncommanded. And without getting too technical, I used rudder to lift up the wing, and I had to then just plan. I only had about 3 or 4 minutes of fuel, so I just had to. I planned. I did two turns onto final approach, set up, and in that time, you know, because we do this, and the training is so good. And we discuss emergencies every day, you know, and all the various types and all that. Like I said, that knowledge of 104 years of aviation history gets passed down from my senior instructors down to me, and that's what I'd like to pass into the next generation. And that comes into play in those situations, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I know that you are very busy. You need to get off to training today as well. We've got one more link available. Okay, if you've got 5 more minutes for
go
us.
Go for it. Right, okay.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Ek weet ons het nou van Lieutenant Colonel Scott Logie, call sign Prowler, hier by ons volgend. En thank you again. I know that your time is... I know you're busy. You're going off to training today. So thank you for coming out today.
Thank you for inviting me.
The people are loving it on the WhatsApp line just to hear your voice and to hear you talk. Just before we let you go, a few last questions. I mean, if you do pilot training, the one thing that you get taught is if you ever get intercepted by a fighter jet, jy is in vet moeilikheid. All right? You do not want to get there. Okay? If you fly through a FAR without permission or a FAP, het jy vet moeilikheid. So, have you ever had to do something like that?
No, so I haven't actually. Only in the. We've obviously trained for it. That's part of our role is to intercept other airplanes.
Yes.
So we train for it. But I haven't had to. I was involved in the Soccer World Cup and the Confed Cup. We were responsible for airspace security for those events and other events as well. I had the privilege to intercept that Blackjack, the Russian bomber that came to the country as well. So that was also fantastic. Yeah. So we intercepted it off the coast of Richards Bay and then escorted the airplane into Watercliffe. So that was also a great experience.
What?
I can do weird flies. Woo. Yeah.
But I mean that was more ceremonial in you know it's something we train for and you know I think most of the time it's maybe somebody that would get lost that you know I don't think you know it's not something we want to I don't think any of us has got bloodlust to shoot down another aeroplane and definitely not you in your Jabiru.
Somebody didn't check their note tabs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
all right. So. By the way, the significance of flares.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
So flares that you see at the air show, the flare is actually there for to confuse an infrared seeking missile. So that's part of Top Gun. That's not realistic where he's getting shot at with radar-guided missiles and he's dispensing flares, you know. But chaff, which is there to confuse radar-guided missiles, you can't see. So obviously that wouldn't make good television for the movie. Those are part of ways to – it's a bit of a cat-and-mouse game in electronic warfare spectrum where the guys that are developing the surface-to-air missiles are developing ways to shoot down the aircraft, and then the aircraft manufacturers are delivering ways to defend their airplanes, yeah.
Why did you
choose... It's a bit like the Bulls working out their strategy for this weekend.
Now you're talking.
You know, actually, I have to tell you, my father-in-law, he said, I drie voor waard, is voordat ek my vrou getrouwd.
Ja, okay, tell us.
And die een was, ek moes hulle honde vat, and hulle honde was hierdie klein brakke, and die ander een was, ek moet een WP ondersteunen word, and die laatste een was, ek mag jou teruggeen nie. So ek het vir hom gesê, op twee van die honde is lankal geleden, en ek is trots op bly op al die stene. So
that is brilliant. Oh my
god. Skielik, ek het heeltemal nie rede geval.
Ons is probe. By the way,
but it's tactics. So op die bille vir die Warriors.
That's it. Before we let you go, why did you not? Why did you choose Jets over, like, let's say, for instance, the Puma of the Choppers of the Roy Falcon? Why did you do that?
No, I've got great helicopter and transport friends in both the civilian and the military world, and they really are experts in their field as well. But the fighter flying is what appealed to me. You know, that freedom, that ability to maneuver the airplane, the dynamic environment, the fact that you're learning the whole time, the challenge. You know, every single day you're only as good as your previous day. You know, I suppose there's a lot of similarities with high performance sport in that aspect. So it doesn't matter how well you shot, for instance, air to air or air to ground shooting the previous day, but you got to bring your A game the next day, you know, and especially all those students that are looking for cake from me. They're also looking at me as well to perform. So
yeah.
So I enjoy that challenge, you know, that you have to always be at the top of your game, and that's what appeals to me about fighter flying.
I could spend hours talking to you. I think we can. There's so much more that we can talk about. But just thank you so much for your time today. Somebody says here, please let him finish with his to do us a little bit of a demonstration. Now you're on the spot. A big fun demonstration of call sign Prowler requesting to leave the 90.5 airspace.
Oh, my word.
I'm not going to try and beat a tower, by the way. I suck at that.
Yeah. Wow. 90.5 Prowler request departure.
Oh, that is so cool. That is just basic. That's how you roll, man. That's it. Unbelievable. Listen, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Logie, it was a really
yes,
honor having
thank
you there
you.
This morning. Thank you so much for just educating us and just telling us how it works. And I think you've inspired already. I mean, every single air show, you inspire me as an aviator, a future aviator. But I mean, you just as a person, just inspiring kids and the passion and the love for aviation. It's incredible. And please remember that I am so going to take you up with me. But please don't fly inverted in a Jabiroo, please. That's all I'm flying.
I'll say Matt back at you. Please don't fly inverted with me in a Jabiroo. You know, it's funny, the helicopter guys, when we do fly with them a lot and we do hoisting, when we do our survival training every year with them, and they find it as a challenge to try and see what they can do to try and make the jetties or the Vlamgatte get nervous in the back of that helicopter. So please don't do it with me when I'm not the one behind the controls. I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer. So.
Oh my goodness. But
ironically, I'm actually also scared of heights, which is...
Well, outside of the cockpit,
But I've done parachuting and bungee jumping and all those things. So, but no, it's actually been a privilege to be with you guys today. And, you know, it's not about one person. It's about a team of people. You know, at the unit, I can't function with the other people there. And in the Air Force, you know, we need to work together as a team to achieve great things. Mm-hmm. So we work together as a collective, and it's been an absolute privilege. Yeah.
As Ruben said, thank you for your passion. It's so contagious. And thank you for welcoming us into your world. It is literally mind-blowing. And thank you just for sharing your passion with so many young people, as Ruben said as well. And all the best with your family and your children and your wife. Love them. You are such a lovely person. And you really filled this space, as in every space that you walk into or fly into. Thank you.
Prowler, the QNH 1090.5, you are clear to take off. Thank you for your time.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.